I had been praying about this message for a while, not necessarily knowing what it is that the message would have been. There were a certain amount of messages that the Lord had given me leading us through the fall and what has been our series of moving forward in faith and of taking that next step in our faith. And I pray that those messages and the message given by Pastor Peter during that series and the message given by Matt Warner during that series have provided you with proper instructions personally and us corporately as a church as to taking that next step with where the Lord is leading us to go in faith. And as I've mapped all of this out, I didn't necessarily realize, that was kind of bright and last minute, but okay. I didn't necessarily realize that I had one Sunday left before ending this series and going into Advent, which we'll start a new Advent series next week. And so I had been praying, and I even asked Miss Peggy, I think it became Wednesday, and Peggy said, "What's your sermon title and what's your scripture for the week?" And I said, "I don't know yet." One more Sunday to fill in. How do we cap this all off? How do we kind of bring it all together and end in a way that kind of sums up what it means to take that next step for what God has for us and move forward? And this is where the Lord had me land. A very well-known passage for a lot of us, one that I had to memorize as a kid, but Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And the only way I know how to summarize what has gone on here the last 2 months now, almost three, and where the Lord is taking us, and how to go forward in taking that next step and moving forward in faith, can be summed up in four words: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And so that's what I want to chat with you here this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. When you have it, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you this morning for your word. And Lord, just the privilege of being in your house and being around our brothers and sisters in Christ, being able to sing praises to your name and to give you thanks. Lord, to hear your word and to respond accordingly. Lord, we now turn this time over to you. We ask, Lord, that you would come forth and this preacher would step back. Father, have your way amongst us through the power and the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we look at your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. You know, the book of Proverbs is the only book that has a promise attached to the reader. Did you know that? Anybody know what that promise is? The book of Proverbs. Somebody looked at me and goes, "What?" The book of Proverbs is the only book of the Bible that has a promise attached to it for the person who reads it. Does anybody know what that promise is? Huh? Trust in God. I also heard someone say Jesus. Yeah, okay. You are promised wisdom. If you read the book of Proverbs, you are promised wisdom. That's what it says. It is a book of wisdom about the things of life and how to handle them and how to conduct yourself in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And what we have here in this particular proverb is King Solomon. And King Solomon is handing down wisdom that the Lord has given to him, that he has seen played out in his own life, for the next generation. If you ever need a good devotional and you're wondering sometimes where to start in reading your Bible, the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book to start it. And the reason being is because you can go through the book of Proverbs in an entire month. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. And you could read a proverb a day and get through it and glean a lot of wisdom about life and about faith if you take it and you apply it. I had to go through in high school, and one of the main projects that just about any graduating senior has to do, graduating from a Christian school, is that we had to outline the book of Proverbs. John, you remember that, right? You graduated the same place I did. David, did you have to do that? Yep, you had to do that. What the teacher didn't know is that my sister did it before me, and she just basically gave me her outline, and I changed the title page and turned it in and still got 100. I shared that with him already, so no need to try to get my high school diploma revoked, all right? But I did do some of the work. And then later on, my younger sister, who also graduated, basically did the same thing. For them to think that, you know, this isn't going to be passed on between siblings is kind of strange. But there's your pastor admitting that he did a dishonest thing in high school. That was before Jesus. I got saved a year out of high school, so we'll put it on that. But we had to organize and we had to memorize. And this is one of the first verses that I told you in my life that I learned to memorize, these two verses. Very key and very foundational. In fact, I believe I had made it in my yearbook with the yearbook picture. I had made it the scripture verse that I put under my yearbook, my senior picture in the yearbook. I did submit one before that, but my homeroom teacher and editor of the yearbook told me that it was not allowed. That was Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than in a wide house with a brawling woman. And I was told that that was inappropriate. It's still good advice. Trust me, if I make my wife upset, it's better for me to be on the corner of a rooftop than be in the house with her. Amen? Come on, men, come on. Good advice. Amen. Amen. But this is a very simple truth. And like I said, I think it sums up everything that we've talked about over the last 2.5 to 3 months. And you can never go wrong by taking this verse, these two verses, memorizing these two verses, and applying it to your life. So let's just go down through, because the verse outlines itself and explains itself. And that's kind of what I want to do with you today, as to how do we trust in the Lord and why do we do it. Look with me at the very first part of verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The first question you can obviously ask when you look at that a pastor would ask a congregation preaching this is, who or what do you put your trust in this world? Who or what do you put your trust in this life? Where is your confidence placed? Who or what is it that you're relying on? What do you have your hope in? Where do your beliefs rest? That's what it's asking. That's what it's talking about. Because here's the thing. Why is that important for us as believers? Why is that important for anybody to answer it? Because you and I are supposed to have our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Because listen to me, you'll go through this life and the world is going to offer you many things that you could put your trust in. They're going to come to you with many things that you could take and rely on, that you could take and put your hope in, that you could take and have confidence in. Can I tell you, each and every one that the world will offer you to put your trust in will fail you and let you down. In fact, that's where I believe Solomon is coming from as he's writing this. Solomon lived a very long life, but as we find out, if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon had a lot of bumps in the road and had a lot of hiccups and tried to put his confidence and put his trust in many things that this world had to offer, whether it be money, whether it be power, whether it be authority, whether it be sex, whether it be a lot of things. And he has found towards the end of his life, if you read through Ecclesiastes, he said, all of what this world has is vanity. And now he's saying here in chapter 3, verse 5, to put your trust in the Lord. And how much are you supposed to trust in the Lord? Well, it says it. With all thine heart. With all thine heart. In other words, when you go to the Lord and you put your trust in Him and your confidence in Him and you rely on Him for every aspect of life and faith, you're not supposed to go half-heartedly. Amen? How many of y'all want to be in a relationship where your partner only loves you half-heartedly? Right? We have another word for that in our culture, but we don't use the word heart. It's never a good turnout, right? It's never a good expression, right? We're to put our whole heart into trusting God. Not just giving Him certain things, not just letting Him in certain areas, but to give Him everything. That's why the old saying or the old story goes that back in the day, if you were to go into the river to get baptized, the preacher would make you keep your watch on and your wallet in your pocket. Because we need to understand that when we get baptized, He gets our time and He gets our money, along with everything else. Because a lot of times, those are the two things that we like to hold back and say, Lord, I'll trust You with all my heart with where my soul is going to go, but I ain't going to trust You with my time and I ain't going to trust You with my money. No, we're supposed to trust Him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Now, what are we most tempted to put our trust in, if not the Lord? We said that the world will offer you many things to put your trust in. But there's one thing that the enemy will tempt us in the most to put our trust in other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's found in the second part of the verse. Look with me. It says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Understanding. Can I tell you this morning, the things that this world will offer you in putting your trust in have absolutely no comparison to you desiring to put your trust in yourself. Your own flesh, your own knowledge, your own intellect, your own experience, your own traditions, your own feelings. Your own emotions. Those are the things within us, and those are the things that we have that oftentimes overrule our trust in God. In fact, in the United Methodist Church, a lot of times they'll like to quote this doctrine of the Wesleyan quadrilateral, which is false because it's accredited to John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist tradition. They'll try to tell you that in order to properly interpret Scripture, you need four things. You need Scripture, you need tradition, you need knowledge, and you need experience. And all those things go towards understanding the Lord. Well, the problem is that was put out about 100 years after Wesley had died. And they like to attribute it. It's actually a lot of that came from a theologian by the name of Albert Outler. And why am I telling you all of this? Because listen to me, church. Wesley was a man in his journal that said, I am a man of one book. And that is the Bible. Give me the Word of God. Don't give me anything else. Yes, other books are good to read. But the supreme book that you need to know and you need to take and you need to understand that's above all other books is the Bible. And you see, this theology that he said that all of those other things need to go into consideration. That ain't true, because listen to me, church, if your experience and your tradition and your knowledge does not line up with the Word of God, it's not the Word of God that's wrong. It's your experience and your tradition and your knowledge. And it's the same way today. We can come to the Word of God. We can see what He desires for our home, for our family, for our marriage, for our church. And we'll say, well, that doesn't seem to fit the times. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. That doesn't seem... But what's it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, Pastor, I have studied in ancient studies and this and that, and I know the Greek and I know the Hebrew, and I've got this and I've got that, and I've got so many initials behind my name and before my name and degrees on the wall. You know what, folks? We as a society, in a lot of ways, by getting away from the Word and turning to education solely, have educated ourselves into imbecility. When what we need is this book, and a trust in this book, and an adherence to this book, and a humble reverence to this book. It is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, and will equip you with all things for life and faith. It is the absolute truth, church, that you can stand upon no matter what comes your way, including your own understanding, including your feelings, including your emotions. How do I know that? Because all those things will lie to you, and all those things, Scripture says, the enemy manipulates to get you away from it. In fact, wasn't that the original sin? Isn't that how everything started? The devil said to Eve, "Did God really tell you to not eat of that tree? Did He really say that?" You see, the root of all sin, church, the root of the downfall of mankind, is the enemy got us to doubt the authority of God's Word. We're not supposed to rely on anything else but to rely on our own understanding. And here's the other thing. You see, we talked about intellect, we talked about feelings, we talked about all this stuff. You know what the world will try to tell you to put your trust in? And you hear it all the time. They'll try to tell you to put your trust and follow your heart. Right? Follow your heart. What am I supposed to do? Well, follow your heart. Can I tell you, if you follow your heart, it will always lead you astray. You're not supposed to follow your heart. You're supposed to follow Jesus. And you're supposed to follow Him with all of your heart. You see, it's not the navigation. It's the tool you use to follow Jesus. That's where we get it mixed up. How do I know this? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Yeah, that's the thing you're supposed to follow in this world. That's what the world tells you. The thing that is desperately and deceitfully wicked. I don't know about you, I'll stick to Jesus. I'll stick to His Word. Because it says, who can know it? The Lord. And this is what He's revealed about it. In fact, if you go down to verse 7, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We are to have a heart that trusts God. And how do you trust God? You trust His Word. What He's given us. The eternal Logos. The written, inspired Word of God. We're not to rely on our emotions. We're not to rely on our desires, because they will lie to us. But the Word of God stands firm and is forever. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So how do we trust in the Lord with all thine heart? How do we bring that about in our life? Well, look at verse 6. It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, what it's saying here is that we are to admit in every aspect of our life, in all of our ways, we are to have an attitude that we admit him to be true. That we are to be zealous of his ways. That we are to acknowledge and recognize that the things that he has shown us and the things that he has leading us are real and act accordingly. You know, a lot of times I think we as Christians get into fairy tale mode when it comes to the Word of God and the Bible. I don't know whether it's because we grew up in Sunday school classes or in junior church classes, sometimes watching the Bible stories played out in cartoons, animated series, and so because it's animated, we don't necessarily connect that it was real. In fact, a lot of times you'll hear people refer, I have to clean up my language sometimes when I say this, the theological ramifications that we say, well, we'll say Bible stories. They're not stories. They're historically accurate events. This isn't some fairy tale, right? This is real stuff. But I think sometimes we get into this idea that we worship a God that, yes, it makes us feel good, but we don't apply it to our lives and acknowledge him our ways because there's something in us that doesn't really connect to say that it's real. Hence why we don't necessarily see the action or the fruit play out in our lives. I mean, think about it, church. How many of us, and I'm sure all of us could raise our hands here this morning, have a relative or a loved one who doesn't know Jesus Christ? Right? We know what they need to avoid a consequence called hell, eternal damnation, lake of fire, forever, forever, forever. And listen to me, if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this book says that's where they are headed. But yet, have we stepped up and shared the gospel with them? Are we that fearful of a response? You know, it doesn't connect sometimes. You know, it's so interesting. I've done many funerals and I've been to many funerals as a pastor, but I've never once heard a pastor stand up there or the people around it and say, this person didn't know Jesus and they're in a lake of fire and worse off than what they are today. That reality doesn't seem to connect with us. We always hear about how they were a good person. Guess what? There's a lot of good people who didn't know Jesus who are in hell today. It's the reality of the Word. It's the reality of God's truth. And if we truly believe that, acknowledge Him in every way, believe that it's real, believe that it's true, admit and give recognition in everything, that should be something that burdens our hearts and drives us to tell people about the Lord and make sure the gospel's known. We trust him by acknowledging him in all of our ways, not just some of our ways. We do it in everything. In other words, what the Bible is telling us here is that we need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Come on, a lot of us, we get by in our Christian lives by repeating a lot of platitudes and a lot of cliches, right? But it never plays out. We let the Lord have this part. We don't let him have this part. We acknowledge him here. We don't acknowledge him here. That's a dangerous game. Because eventually, if you don't acknowledge him here, it will show here. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll tell on yourself at some point. You see, it's when we walk the walk and we apply biblical truth to our life and we live it out that we show to every single person, he is real. And I truly believe this. And I truly adhere to it because he's alive. Because he's real, church. That's what we need to do, not just on Sunday mornings. How many of us today, we get our praise on, we open our Bibles, we listen to a word, and then we go home and we put our Bibles back in our room and we don't acknowledge him Monday through Saturday. Our life doesn't acknowledge him Monday through Saturday. No, this is something we are to do every single day. Your home life, your work, your priorities, your routines, everything is supposed to be a nod to him. It's like when that football player scores a touchdown, right? And they go into the end zone and they point up or they get down and they're giving glory to God saying, yes, I scored this touchdown, but Lord, it is the given abilities that you have given to me that has produced this touchdown. Or a baseball player hits a home run and he gets to home plate and he crosses himself and he points up. He's giving glory to God. Yeah, I hit that home run, but Lord, it was you providing me with the strength that executed it. It's you who gave me the hand-eye coordination. I'm giving you the glory of God. Church, how many times do you walk around in life and in your job and in your marriage and at home that every single thing that comes down the pike, you should be pointing up and acknowledging him in all his ways? Give him the glory. Give him the praise, church. I certainly hope that on Thanksgiving Day, if none other day, a day that this world cannot say it's their own, but that every single Christian should be able to gratefully acknowledge and thank the Almighty God for all the blessings you have. Listen to me, church. I know we're in a contest today and in a culture war in which our culture is becoming less and less Christian, and they're trying to take everything away where you can't have a Christmas tree. It has to be a holiday tree. It can't be a Christmas party. It's got to be a holiday party. Well, first off, don't get too upset, because holiday is holy day, and you can still say, let's remember why this day is holy and set apart. But listen, Thanksgiving is the only holiday that you can't argue about what it's for and how you recognize it. It is a blatant Christian holiday, because you give thanks to God. You give thanks to God. I don't know about you. I'm so happy that on a day that we choose to give thanks to Almighty God, it is accompanied by turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing. Whew! Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Man, it is some good stuff. We say a blessing beforehand, right? But we do it, we acknowledge him in all our ways, because we believe what the word says and we know that it's true. Why? Because he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Come on, church. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's the playing out of the passage. You acknowledge him in all your ways, and look at the promise that's attached to it. When you acknowledge him in all your ways, look at the end of verse 6. It says, and he shall direct thy paths. And he shall direct thy paths. Listen, if you trust him, if you acknowledge him in all things and in all ways, it says he will direct your path. In other words, we're always wondering, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have? Where would you have me go? Lord, how would you want me to serve? Lord, how do you want me to handle this situation? Right there is your answer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understandings. Acknowledge him in every part of your life, and he will give you direction as to what he wants you to do, where he wants you to go, how he wants you to handle it, all to the glory and honor of the Lord. It's all there. It's all there. Because listen to me, church, when you follow him, you know that the Christian faith is the only faith, that tells you where you came from, where you're going, why you're here, how you got here, what your purpose is in this life, and what the meaning of life is. No other religion can answer all of those questions. And if the Bible can answer all of those questions, and if you find all those answers in Jesus, I don't know about you, but I want to trust in Him and lean not on my own understanding. I want to acknowledge Him in every way of my life because I know He will direct my paths if He's got the answers to those questions. Come on now. Come on now. You know what I love about this verse? I want you to underline the word direct. If you have an older King James Bible, or even, I think if it's New King James, it still says direct. But that's a big word. Because there's a lot of newer Bibles that change it. And I'm not trying to get into a war over which version is better and whatnot, but there are a lot of versions today that have changed this verse, and it says, "And he shall make your paths straight." Well, that's a little bit different from direct. That he will make your paths straight. In other words, you know what that does? When you say he'll make your path straight, he's saying that there's no choice involved. It's just automatic. Or what starts happening is it feeds into that false gospel that once I'm saved, I'm going to be on easy street. That everything will be fine. Everything will be okay. Jesus will take care of it. Listen to me, that's not what it says. It says he shall direct your paths. He'll tell you where to go. He'll reveal to you the true and the right way, his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But listen to me, church, ultimately you have the decision to follow him or not. Praise God that he reveals. And that's the promise. He'll show us. But ultimately, you know what it comes down to? Go back up to the beginning of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And it starts all over again. You see, he'll direct your paths. He'll show you. The question ultimately is are you going to trust him? Are you going to trust him? Or are you going to lean on your own understandings? Isn't this kind of neat? You see the cycle here? That's how the Lord works. That's how he moves. You see, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you are saved, and you are a child of God, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, listen to me, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within you. You have all of the Holy Spirit that you need. And you know what he is? He's your GPS in this life for all things life and faith. And when you apply this word, it connects with this. And he directs your path. You know what some of y'all keep hearing in your life? Recalculating. 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 Because we don't put our trust in him. And we go our own path. Or you know what I like? I can't stand now. You follow on Google Maps at least. It'll always give you like 5 different directions to go. And it'll say, or you can go this way. Or you can go that way. And it'll be like, and this way is 1 minute faster. Big deal. Get me there the most direct way. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is your director. He's not the executor. You have to execute. And he gives you all the things needed to accomplish where he is taking you. You see, folks, the Lord will never force you to do anything. That's your free will. Every time you decide to trust him and obey him, you give him glory. That's an act of faith. And here's the other thing. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, he'll direct my paths. Yeah. And you've got the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I've never heard a story in which the Lord has led someone astray. He's always, while it may not be the route you wanted to take, when you faithfully follow him and walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, he'll always take you the exact way you needed to go. and the faithful way and the fruitful way. He'll never lead you astray. Listen to me. It may be through the valley of the shadow of death, but praise God, there's a psalm that tells me that thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You see, as he directs you where to go, he's got his sheepdogs coming behind you. Goodness and mercy are following you as you walk the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he shall direct your path. Say it with me, church. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We lost you there. And lean not. Keep following me. Unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The worship team can start coming up as we get ready to sing a final song this morning. I want to ask you today, have you chosen to trust him? Let's get a little bit real now. Let's not just talk about your life in terms of you as a Christian, but maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've always struggled with those questions that the world doesn't have an answer for and nothing else will ever have an answer for. Why am I here? How did I get here? What am I supposed to do? What is my meaning? What is my purpose? Where will I go when I die? Listen, the answer is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he stands with his arms open, ready to give you forgiveness by his grace. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Guess what? I don't, and I don't need to. He knows it all. And the Word of God says that every single sin has been covered by the blood of the Lamb. So you may be sitting here this morning and saying, Pastor Jeff, I don't think God would forgive me for this. Well, then you're saying that there is a sin that is more powerful than the blood of the Lamb. Listen to me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, listen to me, lose all their guilty stains. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And it flows freely for you and for me today. What a wonderful thing to be able to do this Thanksgiving. If you can't thank God for anything else, to be able to thank him for saving you. Because without his precious blood spilled on the cross, we would have no way to be reconciled unto a mighty God. Praise him today for his work. And if you haven't accepted that free gift of salvation, if you're trying to lean on your own understandings or lean on your own works, listen to me, it won't work. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Christian, let me ask you, are you living a Christian life only on Sunday morning? Look, don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord for it. But I would hope that your life consists of trusting him not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I hope that you are not leaning on your own understandings, but that you are bringing up a biblical life that brings glory to God and following his ways and not your own. I hope that you're acknowledging him in all of your ways. Because let me tell you, when you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will guide and bless. For glory and honor to his name. Listen to me, church. I didn't say glory and honor to your name. In other words, it may not always go the way you want it to, but it'll be glory and honor to his name. And whether it's personally or whether it's corporately as a church, listen to me, we need to continue to trust in the Lord and trust in his holy word. He will never lead us astray. He will always provide. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father,